Welcome to episode 213 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Now, how many times have you heard the expression, if you don't ask, you don't get? It's a simple enough sentiment, and in this week's show, I'm giving you a few recent examples of how making a first point of contact has enabled me to produce the sort of work I enjoy the most. So, let's get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 213. It's just after 12:30 in the afternoon, and I'm on a bit of a high, I think. Sometimes in my line of work, you have days where it just feels as though everything is, you know, just ticking along, you know, progress is being made, all the rest of it. Some days you have days where you just feel as though you're not really achieving a lot, but actually you are. And then you get those days where you've been pushing to make things happen, in all different ways. It might be trying to secure a new client. It might be trying to arrange some personal work that you're wanting to put together. And today's one of those days. Now, the topic of this week's show then is centered around what I've been up to this week. As I record it, it's a Friday. And the idea here is, you know, making things happen, and specifically, if you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't ask, you'll never know whether the possibility is there. So let me rewind a little bit and just give you a bit of background. So if you've been following me on Twitter and Instagram recently and Facebook, you will know that there's all sorts of stuff going on to do with camping, to doing with being outdoors, some little video projects that I'm working on, all this sort of thing. And with all of that, the more people that I talk to that are contacts within the outdoors industry, whether it's locally, whether it's slightly further afield, people that help me do my work, the better. So there is something that I want to do. I'm not going to give all the details now, but there's something coming up in the near future where I have really, really wanted to center it around a wild camp in a woodland. Now, by wild camp, I mean camping in at a place that is not on a designated campsite. Now, I'm not going to go into the the big debate about whether you can wild camp without permission and all that. There's lots being talked about on that. If you have any questions, do let me know. But I always think it's nice, where possible, if for no other reason than to spread your network and build a good folder of contacts, essentially. I think it's always good to talk to people, see if you can get permission. And then you can just relax when you're on location. You know that you've spoken to the right people. You're not going to get people, for example, if it's on a site, sort of in a city, for example, just a street scene sort of thing, where you're going to get security coming up to you, say, "Oh, what's going on?" All the rest of it. If those security people have been tipped off by the person that you've talked to, and they've said, "This guy's going to come along, he's legitimate, he's a photographer, he's working on this, da-da-da, let him come in and do what have you." That's always great. So there's this location in Hampshire, here on the south coast of the UK. And I've been wanting to camp out there for some time, for various reasons. I wasn't able to quite make it happen previously because other stuff got in the way, but it was to do with some test review work of a tent and some other equipment. And so I still had the contact in my phone book. So yesterday I gave this chap a call And I said to him, look, you know, we spoke previously. It was a little while ago now. This is what I was talking about before. I don't know if you remember me, what have you. And he did. And he sounded as though he wasn't altogether hacked off. So clearly I left quite a good impression. And so I said to him, I said, look, I'd still like to do this in the coming weeks on this, around this particular few days. What I'm looking to do is do an overnight camp out. I'm going to be putting together a short film. I'm not going to be lighting any fires. I'm going to be hammock camping, and I'll maybe talk a bit more about that in a minute. So the impact on the woodland is virtually zero. This is what I'd like to do. This is the dates I'd like to do it. And is that going to be a possibility? So one of the things that I did say to him is, look, I appreciate that you cull deer. Obviously, they have to keep the population down because there's not the, whereas in the past you had, and we're talking many, many years ago, you know, wolves and boar and all this sort of thing. You know, the deer within this particular woodland has no natural predator now. So the foresters there, they have to keep numbers under control. Otherwise they start to mess up the woodland on their own. So I said, are you around this time, are you going to be doing this, this culling? And he said, well, we do it throughout the year, but if you tell me when it is you would like to go and do this, I will make sure that, we can put you in an area where essentially you're not going to get shot, which for me is a bonus. So I said to him, although I've got certain areas in mind within this woodland, I've said to him, do you know what? I appreciate your helping me out. I'm willing to work with you on this. That's great. So that was yesterday. And he said, well, phone me back tomorrow, i.e. today, and tell me for sure, because I had to check a couple of things my end. Tell me for sure what date it is you want to go, and all the rest of it. So I have just got off the phone from talking to him about that. And what I said to him is, look, I'll go along with wherever it is you want to put me. I'm sure it'll all be great. But I'd like to come and see the location ahead of when it is that I'm planning to be there. So the long and short of it is I've got to phone him again at the start of next week to arrange a day where we can meet up and have a chat, and he can say, look, you know, is this going to be okay for you? Is this, and I can explain to him in more detail what it is I'm trying to do, and who's going to see the stuff, where it's going to be put out, who I'm collaborating with, because there are other things going on surrounding this. And I will be my plan is along the way to do podcasts, to do obviously my main little film, but to try and shoot some behind the scenes video as well. So I'll be sharing that with you in time. So that is coming up. Now, for me, generating ideas and networking and all this sort of thing, it doesn't just stop there. I have made contact. I've been polite and professional. Oh, and if you're interested in that topic, do check out a previous episode of the podcast, episode 207, The Need for Professionalism. That will give you a bit of an insight into, you know, not being an idiot and being polite to people and how you can go about influencing people in the right way to help you do your work. So that's all lined up. But the point being, I've made contact. I've essentially got my foot in the door there. When I talk to him, there are a number of other ideas for features and things that I've got in mind, which I haven't finalized them yet. But they're in the back of my mind so that I can say to him, look, I'm really interested in, I don't know, for argument's sake, forest management. I'm not really interested in forest management, but it could be that actually if there's a good story there and he's open to the idea, I can say, well, look, could I maybe, whenever's convenient, you know, buy you a coffee or you know, come into the woodland with you, sit down, have a chat about what it is you do or this and that. Yeah, so there are other ideas for other features and the rest of it, which I will now be able to. It's a bit like a lock on a door, you know? It gives you the opportunity to at least unlock the door, and all you've got to do is to walk through it to make stuff happen. It's a bit of a tenuous kind of link, but there we go. So that this is really exciting. This is why I'm on a bit of a high, because that and the fact that I've had a request for a last minute shoot, so that's kind of come through where I've had to change my plans, but that's good. We always like those as well. So yeah, I'm kind of buzzing because this week, and let's open this up a bit more general now. This week has been one of those where it's been a bit up and down insofar as I've had a few late starts for one reason or another in the day. I've not been starting till mid to late morning sometimes. The weather, it's been so warm. And as I sit here, it's not sunny today. It is cooler than it has been, but it's really muggy. And I just don't like this weather. Or if you listen to me and have done for a while, autumn, winter, the cooler spring days, that's what I love, you know. I always think that if you're cold, you can add layers, get warm and comfortable. But once you're too hot, like now I'm sat here, and typically through the day, I'll drink green tea and water, plain water. Next to me here, I've got a 1 litre bottle of water, like one of these ones that you put inside your rucksack, sort of a bit like a Nalgene bottle, if you know those. And I don't know how much I've drunk already, but I will get through about 4 of those, 4 litres, 5 litres in a day. Not because I'm thinking I must drink lots of water, just to keep myself awake, active and all the rest of it. You should never underestimate hydration or dehydration. So, you know, I'm kind of buzzing a bit, but in front of me, there are things surrounding me which, taking it back to this central idea of, you know, ask and you shall receive, that sort of thing, there are things that are connected with this. So if I just clear a bit of a space here, I have got in front of me a couple of magazines. It's a camping magazine, which is a magazine here in the UK. It's I've got the where are we? I've got the July and August issues. August being the current issue, and I have features that I've written in both of those. And both of those, and I may have alluded to this in the past, but both of those came about just because I pitched ideas. I thought of an idea and places that I wanted to go to, and I contacted the correct person at the magazine. And I said, first of all, I phoned them up and I said, are you looking for contributors at the moment? And they said, this is going back a while. They said, well, we've kind of got everything set out for the rest of the year now, but if you've got some interesting ideas, we're certainly looking for next year. Some magazines work on, everyone works slightly differently. So I said, okay, well, I will do that. So I sent him through, was it 3 or was it 4? I forget now, ideas to do with camping. All sorts of different ones. The one from a couple of months ago was about the Isle of Wight, which is a lovely place. If you get the opportunity, I'll link to this in the show notes. There was a podcast actually I did. Let me see if I can find it on the website. Episode 206, Photographing the Needles. That was when I was actually on location shooting and researching for that article. So there was that article, and then the one in the most recent magazine is one pot recipes. So this idea that, you know, when you're camping and you may be with a family or what have you, you don't have to take loads of pots, pans and the kitchen sink and all that. You don't need to have complicated meals to have good sustenance, good food that will fuel you up, keep you warm, all that sort of thing. You can do it just in one pot with proper ingredients, not just out of a packet, a few basic utensils, and there it is. And that feature, let me see, here we go, that one went to 1 2 3 4 That was a 4-page feature. The Isle of Wight one was a 6-page. If you're here in the UK, you can still get this this edition. But those, all of those came about. So I pitched these ideas and he said, yeah, I like all of them. And he took all of those ideas and we had, excuse me, we had a couple of back and forth on email and we set dates, we arranged the fee and all the rest of it and they were supplied and all the rest of it. That only came about because I pitched ideas. Now, what really helped with that is, for example, with the Isle of Wight article, I knew I was going to go over there. I knew that I had to go and look at some of the main attractions there because the piece was very much targeted towards families and I needed to get photographs of places like the Needles, which is a great attraction, a sort of a rock formation there going out to sea, but all these things. So ahead of time, once I knew when I was going there and all the rest of it to do my research, I contacted the relevant people at a lot of attractions on the Isle of Wight within tourism and the attractions themselves. And I said, I'm coming over to the island. I'm writing this feature for this magazine. I need to do this. Can you help me out with access? And you know what? We went to a whole bunch of attractions there and we didn't pay to get in. Now, that is great because some of these places are quite expensive to get in anywhere in the country. But again, it allowed me to talk to the right people that I could follow up and say, here's the magazine, here's the feature. Look, that's what I did. And then for the future, if I wanted to write something about another topic, I could go back to those people and say, do you remember we spoke when I was asking you about this? I'd like to do da 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 da, whatever. Are you around? Can I talk to you? Can you help out? What have you? So that's really good. Now, I've also got in front of me a stack of little history books, and just picking one at random here. This one is from where are we? This one is from. Okay, typically I can't find the date. Well, other ones in the series are around about 1981, 1982, and they're all to do with within my area here on the South Coast. So there's one here all about shops and businesses, everything from grocers to undertakers. There's things from a local history group. There's memories of a particular area, pubs in Portsmouth, if you're into your drinking, your real ale and all that, that sort of thing. All these sort of things. Now, that's obviously not outdoors, but I've got books. This is the point. I've got lots of books like this, and they invariably come from charity shops, and they're only like 45p each. They don't break the bank. But for research, they are fantastic because the authors may not be around anymore because, you know, 1982 or what have you, it's a while ago now. And if the person was old enough back then, who knows? The places might have changed that are being talked about. Now, a lot of these are talking about way back in the past, but something has changed and some things don't. These books are so good for me for research. Now, the relevance to you, dear listener, is that if you are looking to go and photograph an area, you want to see what's going on, what has been going on, the landmarks, the areas, all this sort of thing. It could be a hillside with something on. It could be all this sort of thing. Speaking of which, I'm lining up another walking route, wild camp that I'm going to be doing for some research where I've got a whole bunch of features for both the UK and the US. Surrounding everything from hill walking and camping through to history and that sort of thing. That came about because I know of this particular area. Then I did some research about a particular ruin that was there. So it's all interesting. But all these things are so important to me and they give me that head start, just like making a phone call to someone saying, would it please be possible to come and camp out here for this thing that I have in mind? That is also a really good starting point for me to be able to, target my next move. Because if you're going to go and walk on a, I don't know, 10 mile round route, for example, 10 miles is a fair distance to go without any real, I want to say direction. I don't mean in the literal sense, but any real, sort of like focus of your ideas, you know? Sometimes it's nice just to go for a stroll and you happen across things and that's great. But if I'm going to make all that effort and I'm going to think about the photography kit that I'm packing, the camping kit that I'm packing, how big my pack is going to be. So for that one, for an overnighter, it'll probably be a 50 to 60 liter pack, which might be ever so slightly too big, but it depends what I'm taking, because I'm also going to be doing some behind the scenes stuff as well. And, you know, considerations there. So, of course, you need to have ideas to begin with. And I've spoken a lot previously about being inspired, where you might find your inspiration, the people that inspire you, the photography that inspires you, the stories that inspire you. Once you've got these ideas and you start to look at an area and what have you, there's something to bear in mind, I should probably say. Well, two things. And I'll link to all of this in the show notes, but going back to episode 203, a lot of you will remember this. The episode then of the podcast was Location Scouting, A Cautionary Tale. And this was a bit of a negative experience I had, where I was trying to do all the right things, speaking to, I wanted to speak to a farmer to see if I could go on his land, you know, again for an overnight, because I needed to do, you know, a sunset and a sunrise shot of this particular tent, and it was a really nice location, and it all just went a bit south. It was a bit of a, it was a quite a unnerving experience, shall we say. It's unusual that someone reacts so anti, you know, your ideas. Anyway, there we go. There's not as queer as folk, as they say. Something to bear in mind then is when you have made contact with someone, and I'm so used to this with editors, not to bunch editors all together. You might be an editor yourself, no offense intended. A lot of editors, because they are so busy and because they talk to so many people every week, every month, they don't always remember to follow up something. They don't always have time, and then it slips by and all the rest of it. It is not unusual to have delayed replies. Now, some editors, some magazines or websites or what have you, they're very, very good. You'll get a reply within a day or so. And then it might be the next day again you hear from them, or 2 days later. But some can take quite a while. And I'm just looking here at my email, or have been looking here at my email and my calendar. And going back just over 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 2 days, actually. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a sip of water. This is where it's so warm, my throat is starting to dry out doing all this talking. So going back just over 2 weeks, I was just about to go away for a week. And so I contacted this particular person who that I write for regularly, and I usually sort of have a batch of articles, you know, on the go for them at any one time. And I said, as I always do, right, here's a bunch of ideas. Let me know what you're interested in this time around, and we'll take it from there. Now, he was really busy with his own work and deadlines and stuff, and he said, you know, I'm really rammed with all... Oh, excuse me. I've got reminders on my phone to remind me to make more phone calls to clients and to arrange stuff. Anyway, yeah, so he said, look, I'm really busy, all the rest of it, this week. Leave it with me, and I'll, if it's okay, I'll contact you next week. And I said, yeah, sure, that's fine. So I thought that whilst I was away, I'd get an email come through and I could, from my phone, I could just reply and say, yeah, that's all great. Thanks, got the deadlines, brilliant, we'll take it from there. And I didn't hear anything all of that following week. And I'm looking at my calendar here as I talk about this. And then we are now at the end of the second week after I initially touched base with him. Now, some people would say, well, you should follow up. You should really hassle them, you know, get your answer. It's your income. It's your livelihood. You da da da. You know, again, professionalism. You want to keep on top of good relationships. So I kind of left it. And because I know this guy is really busy. And it could be that he just hasn't had the time to give it the attention it needs. Now, I'm just going to go back into my email here. I've just had an email come up. That's another topic altogether. I'm going to flag that up and maybe I'll talk about that in another thing. It's totally unrelated to what I'm talking about today. So I emailed this guy this morning and just saying, hi, hope you've had a good week. How did that stuff go that you were in the middle of doing? Please, can you let me know what content you want off my list this time around, because I'm trying to sort out my diary, see what fits in when. And I still haven't heard back. It's really frustrating, but you know, to make things happen, you have to have give and take in all of this. So there we go. It's kind of it in a nutshell, really. If there are delayed replies, you just have to go with it. But bringing it right back to my current situation with all these various things I've talked about, I've made the steps to get things in place. It's the finer points, fine tuning, doing some research, excuse me. And then if I can, what I'm going to do is when I go and do this location scout, I might try to do, have a chat with this chap in the Woodlands. And then I might try and do a bit of a podcast for you just as a follow-up. As I said, my plan is whilst I'm there camping, I'm going to be doing podcasts and stuff along the way. So there we go. There we go. If you don't ask, you don't get. If you've got any thoughts about any of this, or if you have any follow-up questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. As I said, I'll be sharing further details about my forthcoming wild camp trip in the fullness of time. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.